This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Paul, sorry we interrupted you there, but raised some interesting possibilities that I would like to consider here. Let's go on with them.
So we were just talking about how the very nature of paranormal phenomena itself requires it to be mysterious. And as soon as it's no longer mysterious, then it actually removes the field itself from that particular type of investigative procedure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if some person or group managed to contain a ghost in a test tube, to trap an ET in a room, to corner Sasquatch into a cave, that these entities could be studied, then it would no longer be the realm of amateur inquiry or, in many ways, citizen science is relevant here. But this field would be become quickly co-opted, controlled by academia, by science. And then you would find a strange situation where there'd be a lot of bureaucracy, red tape, whereby certain standards would be installed to ensure that ghost investigations, for example, were being run with health and safety in mind. Certain ethical procedures were being followed regarding how we engage the dead or spirit. And so, again, there's a kind of strange echoing between the academic sphere and the amateur investigators. And I think that the two are not are quite parallel, albeit a very different relationship to the object of study.
Right. There seems to be a real spectrum among the investigators. We had recently Sharon A. Hill. I'm not sure if you've heard of her, but she's a geologist, and she wrote a book called Scientifical Americans, in which she also studied quite a number of these groups and found the same thing, that quite a few of them, they have really no standards and don't really understand even the basics of the scientific method or what it means to do science, all the way up to people who are very conscientious of it, and include people not unlike yourselves who have academic credentials. If all of a sudden it was pinned down to just one specific thing, you could find that the whole field would arbitrarily be chopping off a whole lot of people who are just fixed on a particular belief that isn't backed by any particular evidence that would be considered academically valid.
Well, I'd say, that data doesn't necessarily just have to be scientific. Data can also include people's experiences, their subjective relations towards the phenomena. So I think it's important that any field of study, be that paranormal study, be that study in society, the world around us, isn't just restricted to science. And so, you know, when it comes to UFO events, you know, I'm with the Scientific Coalition of Ufology, so I'm helping them in terms of coordinating manuscript review and so on. This is a new group that I collaborate with. One of the discussions we've had is that data can involve people's experiences. And so I think it's dangerous just to consider facts and figures through the purview of science. It is important to take seriously people's experiences with this phenomena.
There are the skeptics, though, who would say that people's experiences doesn't even count as data. And I've always had a problem with that and tend to agree more with what you're saying, because people's experiences are based on the stimulus response, which itself isn't all that unscientific. We know what happens when photons enter the eye, for example, and that's how we're able to create eyeglasses and grind lenses, that sort of thing, make contact lenses and do operations on people's eyes to make them see better. If we didn't have an understanding of what we observe and how we see things in a scientific sense, we wouldn't be able to do that. And I think it's reasonable to say that when people see things, most of the time, it is because something is there to see. So, sure, there are exceptions, but we also understand those pretty well as well.
Yeah, and this is my take on academic study is that, well, clearly academia isn't just about science. You have the humanities, the arts, social science. So you have different kinds of knowledges and things in the world that can't be grasped by science.
That's perfect. I have waited a long time to hear an academic like yourself say something like that, because personally, I believe that ufology is better suited to this, to the humanities, because of its huge cultural influence. It's got such a wide range of cultural influence. Like, I think Close Encounters of the Third Kind is inaugurated into the Library of Congress in the United States for its special cultural significance. And yet there's no way that we could take that and all of the opinions about it really and study that scientifically, because it's such a subjective thing. And yet if we were to remove all of the cultural aspects from the paranormal, I think we'd be really doing it a disservice.
Yeah, she would be desiccating or removing a lot of its, substance in terms of what actually happened or the context. Well, in fact, Randall, I started this project because I read an editorial in the Globe and Mail, Canada's leading newspaper, where a man called Michael Parfit, he worked for National Geographic, and his editorial was rallying against National Geographic's focus on Bigfoot, ancient aliens, and he suggested that this was bad for children's education, it was bad for National Geographic, and because it was amoral cynicism for him. So I wrote a letter in suggesting that, geography is actually more than being sticklers for the facts, as he put it. Geography involves taking seriously people's experiences, cultural narratives in society, and not simply being sticklers for the facts. And I said it's precisely ghosts, Sasquatches, and so on that National Geographic should be broadcasting, because this is clearly an important force and issue today in society.
Well, certainly. I would say that we don't have to necessarily believe as academics, or if we approach it from an academic perspective, we don't have to adopt the particular beliefs of a particular cultural subset. We simply can take the facts about what they believe and catalog it as this or that type of belief and look at it very objectively and make it into an academic study in that way.
Mm-hmm. And to get back to the paranormal, one of the narratives, which many academics reject, is that, you know, today we're in a post-enlightenment, secular, modern world. We've unshackled ourselves from superstition, religious beliefs, and so on. But if you look at the world around us and how it works, academics talk about the magical power of commodities, the ways in which people believe in certain products that can magically transform their lives. Law itself operates on these strange suppositions that a boundary between a garden and a sidewalk will determine whether someone is charged guilty, perhaps even assigned to death based upon a line. We treat various objects around us with reverence, with superstition, with and so on. And so we have not entered some kind of post-religious, post-spiritual society. If anything, there's greater enchantments, re-enchantments of the West. Superstitions are still alive today. And there are many realms of society, take love, for example, which cannot be explained away by science.
Oh, absolutely. I think one of the points that Sharon made is that people, even when they do abandon religion, a lot of them take up with the paranormal because they can relate to such a variety of individual topics that they can they can relate to it on their own terms as opposed to having an institution tell them what to believe.
Yeah. We've got more to come with Paul and Randall and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, we've made such a deal with HelloFresh, and it means that everyone listening to this show can receive $30 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code PARACAST30. You know, with HelloFresh, you can choose the delivery day that works best for you. They've got a wide variety of chef-curated recipes that change weekly. And can you imagine me cooking Japanese panko chicken? It makes me feel like I'm a chef. It means also that you could actually get your meal cooked in 30 minutes. For busy people, this is perfect. The simple recipes include step-by-step instructions so even I can figure it out. Go to HelloFresh.com, use the offer code PARACAST30 to get $30 off your first week of deliveries. HelloFresh.com.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about down-home value. Made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. Put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get diamond gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com, that's gusset.com, or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
Broadcasting to over 1,000 radio stations, GCN programming is in all of the largest markets. A GCN advertising career could be the business opportunity you've been waiting for. Companies need hardworking representatives just like you to handle their needs while you earn residual income which can last for years. Companies are buying and they need you. Email advertise at gcnlive.com or call 877-996-4327. That's 877-996-4327.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-318-1251. That's 800-318-1251. 800-318-1251.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So Randall raised a fascinating point at the end of the last segment, and Paul, you're about to respond, so you can go ahead now.
Yeah, so this topic comes up a lot with my research, and that's the idea of belief. Are paranormal investigators similar in terms of issues of faith and belief in religion. And one thing I'm interested in is how even the so-called non-believers, the cynics, actually are kind of secretly the true believers. So, for example, I was talking with a colleague in geography who's working in Bangkok, and there are considerable beliefs that certain buildings are haunted. And so many people in Bangkok, Singapore as well, will prefer to buy a new condo, a building that hasn't been lived in. Maybe people have died, and it is considered to be clean from the ghosts. And when he speaks to the people who are buying the new condo, he asks them about the ghost towards the end of the interview. And they will say, oh, no, I don't believe in ghosts, but I respect the beliefs of other people. And so even if you affirm yourself as a non-believer, you're still believing the people take this seriously, and that influences you. So you find scientists, for example, there's a famous story of a physicist who had a lucky horseshoe on his door. And someone asked him, so why you as a physicist have a lucky horseshoe on your door? And he replied that, oh, I don't really believe in it, but they tell me it works, so I'm going to try this. So in the age today where we dismiss things like Santa Claus as fictions, nonetheless, we still take them very seriously, and we believe that is an important aspect of life.
Right. It's like the old, well, what have I got to lose? If it doesn't work, it's no different. But if it works, then I add. Yeah, that's really interesting. Now, you received a grant from the government to do this, which was pretty impressive. And I think that speaks to the fact that it is being taken more seriously now within academia.
Mm-hmm.
Would you tend to agree with that?
Yeah. So I chatted, with Gene about in the past decade or so, many social scientists, humanities folks have written on the so-called re-enchantment of the West. This is the widely observed turn in society towards yoga, chakra, alternative spiritualities, New Age beliefs, and so on. So many academics do recognize the importance of this. But for my grant, it's somewhat different because I actually wanted to zoom in, focus on the investigation aspect of paranormal cultures, but not simply look at reality TV ghost hunting shows, but speak to people themselves to ask who is doing this, why are they doing this, how are they conducting their investigations. And the main geography is looking at conferences of sites of knowledge exchange and fieldwork of sites of inquiry, sites of the practice of investigation.
And you have some postgrads working with you as well, I believe, on this.
Yeah, so Aid and me have been two PhD students and one MA student who are an integral part of the research. And in fact, most of the money from the Social Sciences and Humanities Research Council of Canada goes towards training of the students. So they learn how to conduct participant observation, transcribe interviews, conduct interviews as part of the work.
Well, that's fabulous, and hopefully they'll go on to do some more work in an academic sense in the field as well. Have you reached any preliminary conclusions? Because you must be nearing the end of this study.
Yeah, so I'm in year four, and with each year I presented a conference paper, which has been well received. I've given colloquia in other geography departments. Well, the first one focused on UFO conferences. And my argument finding was that these are essentially parallel universes to academic conferences. So I was chatting with Gene earlier that they have like academic conferences, award ceremonies, late night hotel lobby bar discussions. The other paper revealed findings of ghost investigations. They had a great deal of altruism. They were seeking to help their clients. They weren't necessarily trying to prove the existence of ghosts, but they were seeking to debunk claims of hauntings. In that paper, I looked at the paradoxical spaces of ghost investigations, whereby they're using essentially a kind of empirical means of testing with measurements and so on to ascertain the potentially paranormal causes behind certain things. So they debunk, but they're mindful of the paranormal aspects to things too. I'm next year I'll be presenting on a Sasquatch expedition that I went on, and here I'm focusing on the role of landscape in the expeditions. Generally in geography, when it comes to seeking knowledge in the landscape, we like to consider humans as in control, penetrating landscapes to discern their mysteries, to gather data. But in a Sasquatch expedition, it's the roles are reversed, whereby the landscape is that which is in control. It is investigators that are vulnerable and a threat by this unknown, very elusive creature. So that's been a really interesting focus in the past year on Sasquatch investigations.
Have you looked at any of the missing people claims and reports? You know, the David Pilates missing in the national parks, for example. So there you have geography and landscape in a particular type of environment, and something strange seems to be going on with it, even if he tends to exaggerate it to some degree. In the end, there is a residue that does seem truly weird.
Yeah, I saw David present on the missing 411 at the Sasquatch Summit in Washington State in 2016. And my PhD student, Oliver Keane, actually falls right within the demographic of these missing people, generally sort of young males in their 20s, 30s, often near lakes in somewhat remote forest areas. And so we talk about this quite frequently, somewhat nervously, jokingly, that he is in a kind of similar situation. One time it was late at night on Vancouver Island. It was a beautiful sight right on the shores. We're in the cabins with Tom Seward, north of Sayward on Vancouver Island. And Oliver was we were using those kind of headphones with a device that picks up on sound. And he was convinced there was some kind of wading sound in the water. And I said, Oliver, don't go too far quickly into that dark because of the Pilates study. So he suggested, we were chatting one time during the Sasquatch expedition, that it could in fact be perhaps a large bird of prey picking up these guys. The lack of evidence in terms of footprints, signs of struggle regarding these missing these people.
Let's do our break here, and we'll talk more about the lack of evidence for Sasquatch, unless he's coming up our door right now. Paul, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We promote the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse and invite you to try them today by visiting GCNLife.com. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. President Trump has weighed in on behalf of the man he nominated in July, and as justice is expected to tilt the Supreme Court to the right, he says Brett Kavanaugh will be a great member of the High Court.
And he will sit proudly alongside Justice Neil Gorsuch, who's doing a great job. to uphold your sacred rights and to defend your God-given freedom.
The vote ended an emotional 88 days after Kavanaugh was hit with sexual misconduct allegations, which Kavanaugh denies. Protesters shouted their disapproval.
Mr. Manchin.
Clerk will suspend. The sergeant at arms will restore order in the gallery.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we hear the excuses like different ways that so-called evidence of Sasquatch may be taken away. But doesn't that still kind of put a question mark about their reality?
Yeah, so several weeks ago, I went on an expedition with the organized through the BFRO, the Bigfoot Research Organization. As with the expedition with Tom Seward, it was really illuminating. I learned a lot. I think one of the take-homes from that expedition was the idea that, well, BC is the size of Egypt, so there's a lot of space out there. There are a lot of bunkers, bowls in these massive forested areas. And obviously, people talk about, you know, what about the specimen? What about the bones of Sasquatch? And the answers are quite robust. One is that, well, not many people are looking for bones of Sasquatch in the forest, given it's the scale of size here. Two, often animal bones are eaten up, gnawed on, decayed in the acidic soils of coniferous forests. Three, there's also suggestions, suppositions that Sasquatch buries their dead. It's known First Nations have told settler cultures that, you know, there are certain limestone caves that Sasquatch buries the dead, but they're not going to tell the white folks about this. And so there's good arguments against the demand that a specimen be revealed to demonstrate the existence of Sasquatch.
But you're not taking an active part in the investigative process as much as you are observing the investigative process and commenting on and analyzing the behavior of the people involved in it.
I'm conducting a method known as participant observation. So I'm thoroughly implicated and involved in investigations. For example, in the ghost investigations, I will ask questions to the spirit boxes. I will put on the headphones, do the whooping sounds during the Sasquatch expeditions. But also I am looking, observing, you know, who's there, what we're doing. But I don't feel like I'm separate from it either. And also, as the study has gone on, I cannot distinguish or neatly separate people on the one hand and the paranormal phenomena on the other. I think in looking at how this culture works, you'll also I take seriously how the paranormal phenomena is part of the culture itself. So the two can't be separated. And so I think this is actually is a good position to be in. It's talked a lot about in qualitative methodology and social science, and that is to, you know, engage fully within in the research practice rather than to separate oneself as a distant, discrete observer.
That's a really fair-minded approach. One might say, though, that it also leaves you susceptible to some crosstalk or some bias. If you're involved in it, then you're not as objective about it as perhaps you could be.
My study is not seeking to be objective, though, because you can't objectively understand culture. Culture is not a kind of simply measurable, predictable, observable entity. We could draw maps about where various cultures are, but I think to really understand culture, one has to feel the culture. One has to, you know, have some emotional attachment to an investigation. One has to immerse oneself in the mystery. And so arguably it's biased. It involves my subjective experience. But for me, that is a crucial element of the study and one of its strengths rather than weaknesses, because I'm not approaching it in a purely scientific manner.
Well, at least you're aware of that, I would say. Are you able to discern what for lack of a better term, an objective reality would be from one that is subjective in these cases?
Yes. So there's lots of debates about the relationship with objectivity and what isn't objective. You know, in my research as a cultural geographer, I think the main items that we are studying, they involve people's emotions, they involve people's narratives, they involve language, and these entities, you know, such forces and structures can't be codified simply through scientific or scientific discourses. So in this piece on crop circles, I am engaged with some philosophy by Jean-François Lyotard, who talks about the importance of the figural power of images in paintings, in philosophy. And so, you know, echoing what we were chatting about earlier, I'm very interested in the aesthetics of paranormal investigations. I'm interested in the mysticism of these things. You know, in religion, there's a branch of study of mysticism, the kind of proximity to the divine and so on. And I think this is one of my strengths in terms of my background as a cultural geographer, is to take seriously the everyday mysteries that comprise the reality of our world.
Oh, certainly as a cultural geographer, you couldn't do your job unless you did. Mm-hmm. So that makes perfect sense. I suppose part of my concern, I consider myself a ufologist, okay, and I consider the phenomena to be separate from me as an objective reality unto itself, okay, and that there are various interpretations about what that phenomena is based on your cultural background, and yet the phenomena itself has its own existence. If the witness or the observer were not there to see it, it would exist in and of itself, okay, in its own right. And so I'm trying to, you know, so what I'm trying to get there is how to identify what the phenomena is from an objective perspective, mm-hmm, compared to the cultural interpretation, And then you might be able to see, well, which cultural interpretations are more accurate than the others.
Yeah, that's important. And I wouldn't rule out the material existence of, an undiscovered, unseen hominid known as Sasquatch. I deliberately take a middle ground position here, an open-minded one. But it's interesting that, what are these things, the ontology? And so with the ghost investigations, I like to recall a famous joke about a guy goes into a coffee shop and he asks, can I have a coffee without cream, please? And the server says, well, unfortunately, we're out of cream, but can it be without milk? And so you have this strange missing thing. It's a strange object, the cream or the milk, which is neither present nor absent. And so I argue that when the ghost investigators give the clients their data, it's up to the client whether they get the coffee without the cream or without the milk, or the data without the ghost, which would be akin to the cream, a very kind of mysterious, valuable object. Or is it simply data without milk in terms of, well, the strange sound we captured on the tape is actually a rat or a mouse in the wall cavity, something quite banal. So I think, again, what we believe exists is also tied up with our beliefs in terms of, as science, we have various kind of principles, laws that we follow, methods, but they themselves involve a trust, a kind of act of faith in the very edifice of science, too.
Let's do our break here, folks. And then we'll talk about the edifice of science. Will it come crumbling down? Are there anti-science beliefs in effect now? Sometimes there are. We've got Paul Kingsbury, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
When you use public Wi-Fi, hackers and identity thieves can see anything you do online. Embarrassing photos, your web history, even your passwords. That's why I use private internet access to encrypt my internet connection for less than 10 cents a day. Sign up now at privateinternetaccess.com, and in just a few minutes, you'll be browsing anonymously and only sharing what you want to share. privateinternetaccess.com. It's time to protect your online privacy.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. readytoeatbacon.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Long-distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Get relief for your neck or back pain when you search Amazon for Sunshine Pillows, heating wraps, and pads, often listed as an Amazon choice.
Why take another pill?
Now, from Sunny Bay and by customer demand, we introduce our extra-long neck heating wrap, a complete wrap, wide and hands-free, and brings fast relief to those who suffer from neck or back pain.
You can easily find Sunshine Pillows on Amazon.
Or search Amazon for our new Sunny Bay disposable heat pads. Or look for Sunny Bay heated neck wraps for relief from back pain to menstrual pain and cramps.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
See why our company, Biomed DB Design, has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Just go to Amazon.com and search Sunny Bay or call us 253-678-1361.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty Media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So don't you see that sometimes where some factions, I guess politically, and I don't want to get too much into politics, but you see this, where they are anti-science. They don't believe in climate change. They don't believe in this, that, and the other. They don't believe in the research of science. They don't believe that we have to control air pollution, things like that. Is that anti-science? Is that a religious belief or what?
Yeah, so then we're thinking about, you know, what are the facts of the world? What are the causes behind certain things? I think there's certainly an ideological moment going on there, not so much that ideology involves the screening or the hiding of a truth, but rather we all have a kind of, unconscious ideological underpinnings that in a way support what we think is reality, what supports what we consider to be normal, to be common sense. And so there's many determinations here of people's take on whether they think climate change is real or not, whether it's human, not human-induced. And I think, you have to consider issues of religion. You have to consider people's beliefs, evaluations of science. And I think you also have to take into account people's often unconscious ideological investments, too.
I think this is absolutely fascinating from a tangential perspective, in that you being what you call a cultural geographer may be exactly what the aliens are doing by appearing to us in their various shapes and forms that seem to mimic, in a way, our own culture over time. If you follow the history of it, they seem to evolve along with us. You know, when in the past there's been airships that looked like, not unlike dirigibles with propellers, but they were preposterous. Or if you go way back to biblical mythology, they were like storms or strange sort of chariots in the sky or shields. Yeah. And now they're like spaceships. And we've moved into the space age. So if we were to be so daring as to assume, well, there are aliens visiting us, this seems like the perfect way to study what we would believe they are, by showing us giving us their presence and then studying the way we react to them.
That's a really great point. I'm reminded of Tom Seward, the First Nations Sasquatch investigator. His approach is cultural too, because he believes that Sasquatches live in families or groups, and that they're structured in terms of four basic types or cultural roles. You have the rogues, which would be former alpha males on top of the hierarchy, have been kicked out or have left, and kind of solitary individuals. You have the harvesters. These are Sasquatches who gather protein, scallops, salmon if available from the beaches. They gather food for storage for eating. You have the homesteaders who are Sasquatches who stay at home camp and wherever the home is at the moment. And then you have the scouts, which are often juveniles who are on the periphery of the territory, looking out for any human incursions. And he precisely does that. He takes the culture seriously. You also have, like you mentioned, the change in formations of ET appearances and so on. And that's a really good point about, the importance of a cultural approach, not somehow to think of culture as superficial or, a decorative veneer. And you have, on the other hand, science, which is serious, data-driven, crunching numbers. It is a mistake to think of culture as an epiphenomenal or somehow coating the inner truth, the inner reality of things. You have to take seriously what is on the surface.
There was another grant I ran across while I was just taking a look at yours. That was for a researcher at the University of Lethbridge. They received $80,000 for a 2014 to 2018 study on factors that predict susceptibility to both erroneous gambling, related cognitions and paranormal beliefs, and the risk-taking behaviors mm-hmm. of individuals susceptible to these irrational beliefs. Any comment?
Well, for something to be, rational, has to posit that there is rational thought. And so, again, this would, hearken to back to the Enlightenment. The Enlightenment, which began in Northern Europe, modern-day Germany. The idea that, following the philosopher Immanuel Kant, was that we should grow up. Kant said that people need to grow up, stop being under the tutelage of the church, the state, and the monarchy. And he urged his readers of a Berlin newspaper in an article to have courage to know, to dare to know. And so I think that, the notion of risk, irrationality, superstition contains within it a kind of enlightenment suspicion or a caution towards so-called backward primitive beliefs. But I think it's difficult to separate, rationality in society and rational behavior. We know for example, in consumption, in economics, that it's very rare for people to follow their interests, to pursue rational courses. And so, yeah, for me, that's a very kind of black and white take on it, though it may have its value for certain people.
Well, I really like how you just zeroed right in on those last two words, the irrational beliefs concept here, because when I was reading it up to that point, I thought, well, okay, perhaps there is some sort of a connection there between people who have beliefs in the paranormal and risk-taking behaviors such as gambling. I mean, we see plenty of casinos on First Nations land, and along with superstitious beliefs as well. So maybe there is some correlation there, but it seems like it really kind of crashed the whole thing by saying, well, calling it all irrational. I mean, just why not just say, susceptible to these influences or types of behavior, as opposed to making a value judgment?
Yeah, and there's a kind of secret pathology, pathologization going on there too, which is to, ridicule or question the healthiness of this. And I think I'm against pathologizing paranormal experiences, people who thoroughly believe in it. And if anything, these people should be granted some dignity, that they are trying to make sense of something they can't explain that may have shaken them up. And I think we have to grant people, some dignity regarding their experience and take it seriously and not confine it to one perspective or the other about what is true or not.
So in your studies, then, have you found that people with an interest in the paranormal who like to study it are fairly normal people.
Yeah, so the demographics of the investigators is quite varied in terms of the socioeconomic background. I mean, there are retirees, there are welders, there are computer programmers. If anything, the culture of the paranormal doesn't discriminate people that it seeks to visit, to put it that way. Often you may find family histories, particularly with UFO encounters. But the paranormal investigation community is extremely diverse. Demographically, you have, First Nations interest here. You have suburban-based investigators, urban-based investigators.
Have you done a section on the converts, say people who prior to having an experience simply believed it was all nonsense, but then had an experience and changed their point of view?
Yeah, so exemplary here is Charles Lamoureux, the Skywatcher, who I've been working with. He's based in downtown Vancouver. He was a skeptic, amateur astronomer, who in 2008 or so, was observing the moon through a telescope, and he recalled this strange diamond shape that glided across the moon. So in this interview, he talked about how he had a kind of, I guess, conversion in terms of, wow, there's this strange lights up there phenomena, UAPs. And then several years later, some orbs came towards his balcony. He's convinced that they were observing him.
Let's leave it at that and do our next segment. Let's observe this on the show with Randall, Gene, and Paul. You're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.